Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
You found us. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle the gifts God has given us, namely money. And we teach these biblical principles as part of our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Learn how we can help you manage your finances a little bit better and help you manage the debt. In fact, we can show you how to get rid of that debt, no matter how small, no matter how large. Simply go to compasscatholic.org for more information. My name is Steve Holbrook, and in the big chairs, we have the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Okay, Evelyn, in the last, 12 to 15 months, we have seen the lottery jackpot go as high as several hundreds, I say hundreds of millions of dollars. So the question I want to throw your way and today's topic, is the lottery calling your name?
If it does, I'm not hearing it. I find that when I go past those lottery things in the grocery store or convenience store, it's just way too confusing to think about.
The solution to that is quick pick.
No, the solution to that is just keep on walking and don't pay any attention to it.
No, I'm like you. I go by those billboards and I see the jackpot is now worth whatever. And I think, I might buy a lottery ticket, and I forget. It's not top of mind, and it's something that I really have no interest in.
I think, you know what? I don't want to spend my hard-earned money on something that probably I'm not 99.999% I'm not going to win. Yeah. But you've got some information on that, right?
Well, yeah. You know, this year we've had various lottery games just have unbelievable jackpots, hundreds of millions of dollars. And people stand in line to buy tickets. You know, the interesting thing is, and this is part of the store psychology, but when the people get in line at the store to buy a ticket for the latest and greatest, biggest lottery ticket that's out there today, well, they see that there's other lotteries that are paying good money. And so not only will they buy that ticket they went in there to buy, they'll buy a half a dozen of the other tickets too. You might be thinking, well, should a Catholic buy lottery tickets? Is that a reasonable question?
Well, do you think it's a sin to buy lottery tickets?
I don't think it's a sin to buy lottery tickets. I think it's a sin to buy lottery tickets if you don't have the money to pay for them. You're taking it out of your family's support funds and stuff like that. You know, your family's not going to eat because you're buying lottery tickets. Then I would say that's probably a sin.
But don't you think people have a perception of, what if I win? You know, I think about all the good things I could do. I could help my family. I could pay off my house. I could give money to the church. My bishop would love me.
All right. Let's don't get too carried away here. I think the best way to do this is to look at the lottery from a secular point of view, and then we'll look at it from a Catholic biblical perspective. Does that make sense?
So let's start with the odds of winning. What are the odds of actually winning the lottery?
One of the lotteries that's out there is Mega Millions. And your chances of winning that are 1 in 259 million, give or take a few hundred thousand.
Okay, that doesn't sound like very good odds.
Well, Powerball, that's another lottery game. The odds are 1 in 292 million, give or take a few hundred thousand.
Again, not real good odds.
No. Actually, you are more likely to be struck by lightning
than win either of those lotteries.
Yes. Lightning strike happens 1 in every 13,500 times. Dying in a car accident is 1 in every 645. And being a victim of identity theft by age 40, 1 in 6. Now, Evelyn, here's a good one for you. Getting bitten while you're out for a jog by a dog. 1 in 133 people that happens to.
See, I told you I was special. I'm 1 in 133.
And getting a hole in one on your birthday, Steve, 1 in 25,000. People acknowledge all this, okay? They know that the odds are just unbelievably. But guess what?
They always think they're going to be that 1 in 292 million.
If I don't buy a ticket, I don't have any chance of winning. And that, you know, that's true.
So that little teeny tiny glimmer of hope about winning is enough to make people spend their hard-earned money on lottery tickets.
You got it. You got it. The average American across the board, across the United States, buys $200 worth of lottery tickets per year.
Really?
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I agree. I don't think the three of us have bought $200 worth of lottery tickets
In our lifetime.
Okay, but listen to this. If you live in Massachusetts, the typical Massachusettes, they spend $735 a year on lottery tickets. And in Rhode Island, it's $500 a year. And Delaware and New York is $400 a year.
So those are lottery tickets for, like, the big lotteries. What about the scratch-off tickets? Don't you have a better opportunity of winning the scratch-off ticket?
Those numbers are for all kinds of
lotteries. Oh, so that's all lotteries in general?
All lotteries. You know, they didn't differentiate between big and small. You know, what about scratch-off tickets, you ask? Well, they're easier to win, right?
Right, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, that's true. They are. You know, a survey was done by a company that bought $1,000 worth of scratch-off tickets.
So they just went out and bought $1,000 worth of scratch-off tickets.
Right.
And then what happened?
Right. And, you know, if you buy tickets in bulk, so you're buying a whole string of tickets.
Supposedly your odds are better.
Your odds are better. Well, they won 22% of the time. You know, that's not bad. 1 in 5, right. A little bit mm-hmm. better than 1 in 5 times they're going to win.
So how much did they spend versus how much did they win?
Well, they spent $1,000.
Okay.
And even though they won 22% of the time, they only were able to win $974. So they didn't even win
enough to cover their costs.
Enough to cover the costs.
Hmm. Interesting.
Pretty interesting. Yep.
So what happens if I ignore the scratch-off tickets and go for the big guns and win the lottery? I've won the Mega Millions. I'm 500 million, 1,000 zillion dollars richer.
There are some rather unique stories of people who've totally changed their lives in a successful kind of way. But there's many, many, many more stories about the other people. And they changed their lives, but it wasn't for the good. Almost 70% of the people who win the lottery end up broke in just 7 years.
Wow, that's sad.
And most of them go broke much faster than that. And some have actually been killed for their money.
Wow.
That's a life-changing occurrence, you know?
You think?
Yeah, it really is. You know, so there's a small percentage who do quite well when they win, and they set up foundations. And one of the very first people who won the Florida lottery was right here in our local community. And she did an unbelievable work in setting up a foundation that still lives today after her death.
So the odds of actually doing well with your lottery winnings are almost as bad as the odds of you're actually winning the lottery in the first place.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. You got it. How does the lottery affect our economy? You know, we're looking at it from a secular perspective. What happens in our economy because of the lottery? Well, the first thing is that the majority of lotto players are low-income earners. And studies have shown that most players are men, African-Americans, Native Americans, and those who live or come from disadvantaged neighborhoods. That's pretty...
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is. Americans in the lowest 1/5 of the socioeconomic status group had the highest rate of gambling, which is what the lotto is gambling, 61%. For the people who are in the top 3/5, the top 60% of the socioeconomic status groups, they're still gambling at a rate of 43%.
But it probably doesn't impact their bottom line as much.
Correct. This one blew me away. One state did a survey, and in that survey, 75% of those who won $1,000 or more on one ticket. So this is a big win, okay? They had also been receiving state benefits during the previous 5 years. 75% of the people who won at least $1,000 in the given year that this study was done had been on state benefit programs for the previous 5 years.
So it almost sounds like those people have spent more money than they've ever won back because of a bigger portion of their income on lottery tickets over those years.
Well, I think I think you're right. But I think it goes beyond that, Evelyn. I think it goes beyond, it's all about an attitude, a perception, a fantasy of being able to maybe pull yourself up by your bootstraps because you're going to win this money and it's going to allow you to do the things that you think that you want to do or that you could do to change your life for the better.
So it's all that when I get to this point in my life, I'm finally going to be happy and successful and fulfilled, and that's being driven by the lottery winnings, but they're not doing anything to help themselves today.
Right.
So
right.
It's all about this future day when everything will be perfect.
You know, Brent Kramer, who's a research associate at Physical Policy Institute, said that the lottery offers the poor a rich fantasy. And that's what they're focused on, that rich fantasy.
Well, didn't you find out something about the lottery advertising doesn't have to meet the Federal Trade Commission rules and regulations for truth in advertising?
That's absolutely true. The state lotteries, not the national ones, but the state lotteries are exempt from the Federal Trade Commission truth in advertising laws. So you see the commercial on TV about, La La Land, where you'll be when you win the lotto. You can't believe anything that they tell you, and you probably knew that already anyway, but now it's just confirmed that they don't have to answer to anybody for what they say in their commercials.
Well, I know when the Florida lottery started, we were here in the state of Florida, and the promise was that that would increase spending towards schools, but it seems like what they did was they just took the lottery money, gave it to the schools, but decreased the school budget by the amount of money the schools got from the lottery.
The state quit funding the schools.
Right, yes. It's a wash, right?
Yeah. It was a wash. So
I don't even think it's a wash. It's a wash with dirty water, maybe. The schools are getting less than what they were getting before. And so the gap between the rich and the poor continues to widen.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. I'd like for you to check out our website, compasscatholic.org. On the site, you'll find financial tools that you can use, and following our vision of getting you totally out of debt, those resources are absolutely free. You'll find calculators that will help you manage your debt, specifically credit card debt. There will be calculators available to help figure out a mortgage if you're in the market of buying a home. Also, calculators to help you with the retirement. Both how much do I need to save and how much money will I need while in retirement. Go to compasscatholic.org, click on resources. Okay, let's get back to today's topic. Is the lottery calling your name? And Evelyn, let's look at the lottery from a spiritual perspective.
The word gamble means to risk something of value on an outcome that depends on chance. Because the outcome of a lottery depends on chance and playing a lottery involves some level of risk, even if it's just a couple bucks, then by definition, playing the lottery is gambling.
If you look at Scripture, a great place to start is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And they tell us, those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. And some people in their desire for it have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains.
So based on that verse, playing the lottery is a focus on getting rich, which means we're very focused on money, which also means we could be drawn away from the Lord if our focus is on money. That's spiritual suicide, right?
You nailed it.
You got another Bible verse for the lottery?
Most everybody is familiar with the parable of the talents from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 29 or 30. And, you know, in the parable, Matthew goes to great lengths to describe stewardship, the act of managing another's funds for them. So think about that for a minute. You know, we are all stewards. We are all called to be stewards. We are all supposed to be stewards because everything that we have has been given to us as a blessing. It belongs to God.
So our job is to be good stewards, which means we shouldn't gamble away the possessions He's given us, because eventually we're going to be judged, and we're supposed to manage everything wisely, and that would exclude wasting money on buying lottery tickets.
Absolutely.
The way we should earn our money is by working and using the talents and gifts that God's given us in our work.
Yeah, a steward is trustworthy. A steward doesn't waste or foolishly spend the property that they are administering to. So it all belongs to God. This is God's money. Are you going to waste it on the lottery? On the chance that maybe you're going to win something? I don't think most people would do that if they thought about it from that perspective.
So I don't think the Bible ever mentions a lottery, does it?
No, they didn't have lotteries back then as, you know, like we do. I mean, that's only a recent phenomenon in the last 25 years or maybe 30 years. But gambling is mentioned several times. In Mark 15:24, it says, "Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each one should take." The soldiers who are there at the crucifixion are casting lots. They're gambling for the garments that Jesus wore.
But they weren't winning money. They were making a decision on who got the garments, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And there's other times where they talk about the casting of lots for the purpose of decision-making. In Joshua chapter 18, Nehemiah chapter 10, you know, the biblical purpose for casting lots wasn't to test one's luck or to gain material wealth. It was to make a decision. I think it...
Drawing the short straw.
In today's vernacular, you could go rock, paper, scissors or something like that, kind of a thing. But another scriptural verse that really kind of nails it down is Luke 16:13, which says, "No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So it's really all about your attitude. And who do you really love? What do you really love? Money or God?
So too many times when people are spending money they don't have on the lottery in the hope of getting a get-rich-quick scheme, they're really focused on money and not on being a good steward of everything God's given them.
There's no question about it. Steve, if you were going to go, when you see that billboard and it says that there's hundreds of million dollars to be won on this lottery game or that lottery game, you think, oh, well, maybe I'll go buy one. Is your focus on God or is it the focus on winning that money?
Winning the money.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's a natural thing in our society that people are focused on money.
Because like you said, Evelyn, you start thinking of all the wonderful things you can do with that money.
And sometimes those wonderful things are not good for you.
Oh, right. I'll throw in an example. Audrey and I work with a couple that they were both on disability, and with their disability, they could survive. I mean, they had their heads above water, and I couldn't understand why every month they were underwater. It turned out they were buying $100 worth of lottery tickets twice a week.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And when we finally pulled that out of them, they said, all we have to do is hit one jackpot and we would be set for life. And this was going on for years. That was the reason they had, they were upside down. They had contacted us, help us put together a budget, but they refused to change the lifestyle. I mean, they came out and said, we have to continue playing because we're so far in debt. We need to win a jackpot.
Here's another verse, Evelyn, that kind of helps us establish a proper attitude. It's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat.
So when we want to win the lottery to fund our lifestyle, we're really unwilling to work. We're looking to for something else other than work to provide for our needs.
Yeah, Paul was telling them, you know, you've got to be able to do honest work. Gamblers, including players of the lottery, they're typically coveting money and the things that they can buy. And guess what? Coveting.
Not a good word.
Another sin. Okay, God forbids covetousness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's from Exodus 20:17. So when we're really focused on the lotto, we're actually putting ourselves in a state of covetousness.
One of the lies about our society is that we think if we just have enough money, that's the answer to all our problems. But usually money just makes the problems worse if you don't know how to manage it and you're not being a good steward. So if you're not a good steward of what you have, you'll never be a good steward of what you get.
No, in the situation I mentioned, I mean, looking at their budget and their lifestyle, they were right on track. They didn't go out a lot. They went to an occasional movie, ate at a restaurant that was affordable. It's just the amount of money they were spending on the lottery, and they were addicted at that point because the deeper they got, they continued to spend. We need that jackpot.
Yeah, there's always that, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when, I'll
exactly.
be happy when, and
you're
it's just
happy.
A never-ending cycle. Yeah. That's so sad.
Well, you know, that's perfectly described in Ecclesiastes. The covetous are never satisfied with money, nor lovers or wealth with their gain, and so too this is vanity. Where there are great riches, there are also many to devour them, and we've talked about that already. Of what use are they to the owner except as a feast for the eyes alone? And it goes on and on and on. We're never going to be satisfied. Even when we win the lotto, we're not going to be satisfied. I read a story as I was researching this of a lady who won the lotto in her state 2 successive years. She still wasn't satisfied, and she still ended up going broke.
Well, you know, a lot of people may be thinking that playing the lottery is just a form of entertainment, but there may be better ways to be entertained and spend your money, because just like you were talking about that couple, Steve, once you start playing for fun, it eventually almost becomes an addiction. It's like if you start playing a certain set of numbers based on birth dates in your family or whatever, then you think you have to play those numbers every week, because if you don't play them, it's going to hit, and then you're going to be upset. So it almost turns into an addiction.
And, you know, buying a lottery ticket here and there, you know, it's probably not a sin, but greed is a sin. And, you know, those playing the lottery need to prayerfully examine their motives. And, you know, if they continue playing, they've got to do that responsibly, with moderation.
But I would encourage people not to spend money on the lottery at all.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't do anything to help you.
You know, and wealth and possessions by themselves are meaningless unless they can be used to serve the Lord's kingdom. In Luke 6:24, the Lord grieves over the rich because they find their consolation in the abundance of goods.
You know, one of the stories I really like from the Bible is about King Solomon. In today's world, he had an annual income of more than $35 million. He lived in a palace that took 13 years to build. He owned 40,000 horses, and the daily menu of his household included 100 sheep and 30 oxen just to feed the members of his household. So he was in a position to know whether money would bring him true happiness or not.
And Sounds to me like he must have had a lot of leftovers, too.
He concluded, useless, useless, it is all useless. That's from Ecclesiastes 12:8.
nothing, not even extraordinary success, can replace the value of our relationship with the Lord. As we draw this to a close, ask yourself this question. Are you sacrificing a close relationship with Christ in the pursuit of wealth?
And do you really think that lottery, if you win, which is very unlikely, is going to make a difference in your life if you're not already happy and satisfied with what you have?
Mark 8:36 says, "What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" It's not about the money.
It's about the change.
The change in your heart.
John and Evelyn, as always, thank you. If you'd like to share the show with a family member or friend, you can do so by going to compasscatholic.org, scroll down and click on the button that says podcast. And not only will you find today's show on the lottery, but a library of all our past programs. And before we leave you today, let's answer one of the emails that we received this week. John and Evelyn, and this pertains to a budget question. What percentage of my budget should I allocate to transportation?
You know, John, a lot of times when people think about the transportation costs in their budget, what they're thinking about is car payments. But transportation costs are a lot more than car payments, correct?
Yeah, car payment, the actual payment part of this category should only equal 50% of what you've allocated for the category. The other 50% covers maintenance, it covers gas and oil and all the other costs that are associated with your automobile. For example, insurance. You know, a lot of people will put insurance separately. That's okay if you've got a whole category for insurance, but it could also be part of your automobile or your transportation costs. Or if you live in a city and you're riding the subway or the bus or whatever to get to work back and forth all the time, you've got to include those costs too. So payments, maximum 50% of the category.
And how much is that category out of my total budget?
No more than 15%.
Now, if there's a financial question that you would love to get some advice from John and Evelyn, send those questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is askask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, we want to thank you so much for listening. And a reminder, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, just scroll down and click on the button that said podcast. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.